are Locked On Angels, your daily Los Angeles Angels podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You're locked in with your host, Brent McGuire. In today's episode, we are going to finish off this top 50 list, looking at the best 50 Angels in franchise history. But first, as usual, if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can find me at BMags94. You can follow my written work at Crashing the Pearly Gates. And if you haven't done so already, make sure to download, subscribe, rate, and review the Locked On Angels podcast wherever you get your podcast from. So happy Friday and welcome to the last episode of the series that we've done. Like I mentioned in the last podcast, this has been a lot of fun to do. I've really enjoyed going back and really just examining the Angels franchise as a whole and looking back at different players from different eras. It's been very fun for me. I hope it's been just as fun for you. Once again, this list consisted of me going onto FanGraphs and essentially looking at the top 50 players based on wins above replacement. Now, I fully admit that it is not the perfect stat. You might even prefer other versions of wins above replacement, such as the ones found at Baseball Reference or Baseball Prospectus. But, you know, as a whole, it's a pretty darn good stat in terms of telling a full, wider story. And quite frankly, I wanted to take some of the subjectivity out of it and just objectively say, who are the top guys in franchise history based on this specific number? So, I had a lot of fun doing this and just going through it and seeing all of the different players from different eras and kind of questioning myself, you know, particular spots and particular players and all that kind of stuff. But we're going to kind of dive right into this today. There weren't many transactions that happened around the sport of baseball other than R.G. Bradley signing with the Philadelphia Phillies. I know he was someone that I personally wanted the Angels to sign. And we also saw former GM Theo Epstein take on a role as an assistant to Commissioner Rob Manfred. So that's definitely an interesting development to see what he might do in terms of implementing new change to the sport of baseball. Epstein has been on the record since he resigned from his post with the Chicago Cubs about wanting to improve the sport from an entertainment perspective. So definitely something that is worth monitoring. But with that being said, we are going to finish off this top 50 player list by getting into the top five. So what I'll do is do the top five right now, and at the very end of this episode, I will recount the top 50 going from number 50 to number one, just to give fans that either didn't follow along all the way or might have forgotten about particular placements, you'll hear that whole top 50. And I will definitely include this in the podcast description in the most organized fashion that I can. But yeah, with that being said, let's dive into this top five. And coming in at number five is Brian Downing with 36.5 wins above replacement. So as usual, all of the highlight audio is courtesy of Major League Baseball. And in terms of Brian Downing, I don't really feel like we hear his name a lot when we talk about the best Angels in franchise history. And I don't know if I exactly have the reason for that, because you look back to see what this guy did and he was a consistent force for the Angels. And it's really interesting to kind of reflect back on who he was when the Angels first got him. So he's a catcher with the White Sox. He comes over to the Angels and his first season in 1978 is a pretty good one, but just looking at these surface level stats, you might not think so, you know, especially in that time. A guy with a .255 batting average and 7 home runs, that doesn't exactly jump off the table at that specific time. But with some hindsight, we can look back and see, no, this was a catcher who had a .345 on base percentage, walked more than he struck out, had an above average batting line, and as a whole was worth 3 wins above replacement. And this was, I think, kind of the story that maybe helps explain why he might be a little underrated in terms of ranking Angels players, because his on-base percentage was steady throughout the entire time with the Angels. And that's kind of who he was at the beginning. You look at what he did, you know, in his second season with the Angels. This was kind of his first really big season as a major leaguer. Hits .326 with a .418 on-base percentage. hits 12 home runs, a 144 weighted runs created plus, and 5 wins above replacement. Just this monster season as a catcher. Interestingly enough, the next 2 years, he deals with injuries and kind of moves away from the catching position, and it's kind of unclear what type of player he's going to be from that point moving forward. But he comes back in 1982 and kicks off this stretch where he was really quite the player for the Angels in the 1980s. His 1982 season hits 28 home runs, has 5.4 wins above replacement. At this point, he's basically playing full-time in the outfield. And I don't know exactly what this was due to, but once he made this switch to left field and wasn't playing behind the plate every single day, some of that power really started to come around. So he hits 28 home runs in 1982. In 83, he has 19 home runs. And then for the next 6 seasons, or I believe the next 5 seasons, hits 20-plus home runs in every single season. And during that time, his on-base percentage is consistently above 350 and even touching 400 in some of the years. I mean, this was a really, really good hitter and just put up this really nice career with the Angels. And to be honest with you, even coming into this activity, I knew that Brian Downing was really good and quite underrated. But you look at his total numbers in the major leagues, and I'm not saying he's a Hall of Famer, but when you talk about guys that are part of the Hall of Very Good, I mean, Brian Downing is up there. A career 267, 370, 425 batting line, which was 24% better than the league average hitter during that time, according to weighted runs created plus. Hits 275 home runs and 48.4 wins above replacement. That puts him about 10 to 15 wins short, but that's a stellar career and a guy that just isn't really talked about all that often in terms of really good major leaguers. So yeah, Brian Downing comes in at number 5 for the Angels on this top 50 list. We're going to move on to the number 4 player on this list, and that is Jim Fregosi with 42.6 wins above replacement.
Look at the numbers for Jim Fregosi. 6-time All-Star shortstop with the Angels. Committed to Mets for Nolan Ryan back in 71. Managed the Angels to their first AL West title in 1979. And managed the Phillies to the 93 NL pennant, which they end up losing to the Toronto Blue Jays.
So Jim Fregosi was, without a doubt, the best first Angel star when they became a franchise in 1961. So he didn't play very much in his first season, only appeared in 11 games, and even part of the next year, 1962, doesn't really establish himself. But from that point forward, from 1963 through 1970, this guy is not only the Angels' best player, he's one of the best players in all of baseball during this time. And I think it's important to provide a little context during this time because, again, you might have done the same thing when you're looking at Brian Downing's numbers, but you look at Jim Fregosi's numbers and you're seeing a guy that has a batting average, you know, in the mid, you know, 200s, isn't hitting a ton of home runs. But again, 1960s was the decade of the pitcher. This was the year, or this was the decade where guys were consistently posting just historically low ERAs and really led to the lowering of the mound after the 1968 season. But during this time, Jim Fregosi really did establish himself as one of the best shortstops in the entire game. So his first big season comes in 1963, appears in 154 games, 3.9 wins above replacement. But after that, the next 3 to 5 years, without a doubt, one of the best players in baseball during that stretch. Puts up a 7-win season in 1964. That still stands as the best shortstop season by any Angel in franchise history. Puts up back-to-back 5-win seasons from 1965 through 1966. And then, you know, drops off a little bit in the couple years after that, but has a monster 1970 season. So this was after the mound was lowered, so this is a little misleading in terms of the power output, but as a whole, really takes it to the next level. 158 games in 1970 with 22 home runs, drives in 82 runs, and is worth 6.8 wins above replacement. And the story of Jim Fregosi is really interesting too, because he's not only one of the best Angels in franchise history, but he was also involved in arguably the most important trade in Angels franchise history. And you're going to hear about this guy here coming up on this list, but Jim Fregosi was traded to the New York Mets after a down 1971 season. And in return, the Angels got a guy named Nolan Ryan. So it's really just an interesting story to see that Fregosi is the best player of the 1960s for the Angels, and in the trade that he's involved in that, you know, sends him to the Mets, the Angels get back in return their best player of the 1970s. And it's really just a crazy story to kind of look back upon. And Fregosi ended up coming back to the Angels organization as the manager for their first division title in the 1979 season. So, yeah, Fregosi is without a doubt one of the most influential figures in the franchise's history, and he comes in at number four on this list. We're going to finish off this list by looking at the top three here in a little bit, but first, let me tell you about Bet Online. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Whether it's the current NFL playoff games or the new NBA or NHL season, look no further than BetOnline. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON and receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your car and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see the parts available for your car or your truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. 2020 is mercifully over. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to the Locked On Bets podcast with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcast from. All right, so it is time to move on to the top three in our list, and coming in at number three is Nolan Ryan with 45.2 wins above replacement.
And also a record time strikeout performance. Here it comes. He pops it up. A tough play.
So Nolan Ryan's addition to the Angels was monumental, not just from an on-field perspective, but also from a cultural shifting perspective for the Angels. While we just touched on Jim Fregosi and what he did for the Angels franchise, he wasn't quite that star, impact, franchise icon type of guy that you could really market your team around. Nolan Ryan was immediately providing that just unique and elite production as a starting pitcher for the Angels in the 1970s. So he comes up with the Mets and is really just this erratic, inconsistent pitcher for the Mets, and they're not entirely sure what to do with him. So he's sent to the trade for longtime Angel Jim Fregosi, and doesn't take very long for Nolan Ryan to establish himself as one of the best pitchers in all of baseball in what would be one of the most historic careers by any starting pitcher in baseball history. So his first year, 1972, tosses 284 innings with a 2.28 ERA and leads the league in strikeouts. 1973 is just one of the better seasons, you know, the best pitching season in Angels franchise history. 326 innings, a 2.87 ERA, 8.7 wins above replacement, and this is the year that he sets the strikeout record with 383. That is still the record today. Tosses his first of four no-hitters with the Angels. Again, that's a record with the Angels. And just, it's very clear that this is one of the elite pitchers in the sport. And, you know, just looking at what he did in the 1970s, I mean, he was dominant pretty much throughout the decade for the Angels. Now, he did deal with some injuries in the 1975 season, but still ends up pitching 198 innings, which is really just remarkable to think about. But as a whole, he's basically a 5-8 win pitcher every single season. And, you know, it's not just the production on the field that's so remarkable about Nolan Ryan. It's just how unique he is. He's exactly who you think he is when you, you know, look at the numbers and the highlights. Strikes out a ton of guys, walks a lot of guys, doesn't allow anybody to put the ball in play. He was who he was, and he was just such a unique figure in the sport of baseball and for the Angels franchise. The only thing that's a little bit of a bummer thinking about Nolan Ryan is from the perspective of what could have been. There's the infamous quote from Buzzy Bivassi in the after Nolan Ryan became a free agent after the 1979 season. And essentially, it's along the lines of, well, Nolan Ryan was a, you know, he could win 16 games for us. If we just go out and sign two other 8-win pitchers, we're going to be fine. That didn't age all that well, given the fact that Nolan Ryan still had a lot in the tank, would end up being a productive pitcher in the major leagues all the way until the 1993 season. I mean, this is a one-of-a-kind type of pitcher, talent in the game, and just remembered so fondly for everything he was able to do on the field. And I don't think this is really a hot take. This is something that other Angels fans have said and other baseball historians, but Nolan Ryan should have went into the Hall of Fame wearing an Angels cap if you're talking about just sheer impact on the field. He had better numbers, more no-hitters, really established himself as a star with the Angels, so that's something I will still fight to this day, that Nolan Ryan should be in the Hall of Fame as an Angel, but regardless, he is at number 3 on this list. So we are getting close to the number 1 player on this list, but we've got Chuck Finley coming in at number 2 on this list with 46 wins above replacement. So Chuck Finley is the best pitcher in Angels franchise history when you look at wins above replacement, and I think he might be viewed a little bit differently if he was pitching in a different era. If he had been pitching a decade earlier or a decade later, I think the interpretation of him would be much better. This guy pitched right smack in the middle of the steroid era, so his 3.85 ERA in hindsight might not look quite as good, but when you adjust it for that given time, it was one of the better figures in the entire sport. So when you contextualize and you realize that his ERA was 13% better than the league average during his entire career, you kind of get a better idea of who he was. No, he was not an ace. He never really pitched at that ace kind of level, but as far as giving the club innings, really high quality innings as like a number 2 starter, that's exactly who this guy was for over 10 years in the major leagues. He really established himself for the first time in 1988 after a couple seasons pitching out of the bullpen, and from that time all the way until 2002, this guy pitched for quite a long time, was an above average durable starting pitcher every single season. Now, at the end of his career, he made his way to Cleveland, but pitched with the Angels until the 1999 season. And just going by every single season, I mean, it is remarkable how consistent he was. So if you look at wins above replacement from 1988 all the way until 1999, he was pretty consistently between 2.5 to 5 wins. So it's a little different from Nolan Ryan in the perspective that it wasn't like a super dominant stretch, but he was consistently out there for the Angels, giving them 200 well above average innings for a very long time. And, you know, on top of pitching in the steroid era, I think it kind of hurts him that he was pitching at this weird time for the Angels. It wasn't, you know, he was on the 1986 team as a reliever, but didn't really establish himself until the 1990s. And this was an Angels team that just wasn't very good in that decade. And then right when his career is basically ending, the Angels go on to win the World Series in 2002. So it's kind of an unfortunate circumstance for him. Had he been pitching maybe a little bit early or a little bit later, maybe he's part of those title teams, you know, or the title team in 2002. Maybe he's playing a bigger role on the 1986 or the 1982 team. So again, it's kind of easy to forget about what Chuck Finley did for the Angels, but make no mistake about it, he's one of the best players in franchise history, and he comes in at number two on our list. And we have made it. We are at the number one player on this list, and this is going to come as no surprise to anybody that follows the Angels or follows this podcast, but that is Mike Trout with 76 wins above replacement.
2-2. This one's out towards center field. Towering shot, chasing Trout back. That ball's hit pretty good. And at the wall, Trout leaps up, and he got it! Oh, my! Are you serious? One down!
That might be one of the most amazing plays you will ever see at a baseball game. The fans going crazy here. I didn't think he had a shot at that ball.
So, you know, before we even get started on talking about Mike Trout as a whole, I really wanted to emphasize how big of a gap there is between Trout and Chuck Finley at number two. Again, Mike Trout is at 76 wins above replacement right now and obviously still has a lot more playing time to go. Chuck Finley's at 46. That is a 30-win gap. So you could essentially put Chuck Finley and Frank Tanana together, and that gets you to Mike Trout. So basically, two of the top 10 players added together gets you to Mike Trout at number one. And look, I have spent countless time on this podcast talking about Mike Trout. It really doesn't get old to talk about the type of numbers that he's put up. I don't necessarily need to regurgitate all of those numbers, but you know what he is. He's won three MVPs with the Angels. He's been a face of the franchise. He's been the best player in baseball by a wide margin since he debuted in 2011. He's been the clear-cut best player, best hitter in baseball, and really one of the most remarkably consistent superstars that you can possibly think of. I mean, it is really unfathomable to think about the type of production that he's put up on a year-to-year basis. You know, it's funny. We always have these conversations that kind of pop up during the offseason about, oh, player X is better than Mike Trout. Oh, Mookie Betts, or it's Cody Bellinger, or it's Bryce Harper, whoever it might be. But I think it's really remarkable that every single offseason, it's always Mike Trout who's being compared to. So even if you buy into the argument in a single, you know, given year that another player might be better than Mike Trout, it's pretty remarkable that since 2012, we've had the same argument with different players, whether it, you know, started with Miguel Cabrera or it went to Josh Donaldson or Jose Altuve or Aaron Judge. It's like every year that player might change, but the guy who's being compared to those players is Mike Trout. He's the one constant. He is always at the top of his game. And again, Mike Trout is still young. He's 29 years old. He still has a lot of his career left. Now, I've been on the record on this podcast, maybe in my articles, on social media, about the fact that Mike Trout, he's going to decline at some point, probably coming up soon. That's just an inevitable part of the aging process. But what Mike Trout has in his favor is he's one of the all-time greats already. And all-time greats age very well. And Mike Trout, what he has going in his favor is the fact that he's moving off of center field. So once he makes that move, he's not necessarily moving to DH. He can still add defensive value, whether it's in left field or at first base, because he's moving from a prominent defensive position. So you talk about, you know, the ceiling for Mike Trout and what he might do. It's remarkable. We don't know what he has left in the tank. By all accounts, by the production he's continuing to post, he's still got a lot in the tank as a hitter, as a player, and, you know, I don't know if I have too much else to say about Mike Trout. I talk about him so often, but it's just important to remind fans how special this guy is, how good he is, and to not really take this for granted. I know the Angels have not made the playoffs, you know, very much during the time that Trout has been doing these incredible things. But in terms of generational type talent, there is nobody better in the sport right now than Mike Trout, who tops the list at number one. So that concludes the top 50 list, and just for organization's sake, I do want to go over this list one more time for Angels fans, so those that didn't follow along the whole time or might have forgotten, bear with me here. I just want to give fans another update on what this list ended up being. So this is going from 50 through number 1. We've got Mike Napoli at number 50, Fred Lynn at 49, Gary Pettis at 48, Orlando Cabrera, Jeff Zahn, Garrett Richards, Dick Schofield, Devon White, Francisco Rodriguez, and Maicers Torres. At number 40, we have Bobby Knopp, Albie Pearson, Troy Percival, Chili Davis, Bob Boone, Rudy May, Jared Washburn, Kelvin Escobar, Irvin Santana, and Rod Carew. At number 30, Angelton Simmons, Adam Kennedy, Cole Calhoun, Andy Messersmith, Torrey Hunter, Jim Abbott, Kirk McCaskill, Doug DeSense, Wally Joyner, Eric Ibar. At number 20, Jim Edmonds, Vladimir Guerrero, Troy Gloss, Sean Figgins, Dean Chance, Howie Kendrick, Mark Langston, Garrett Anderson, John Lackey, Darren Erstad, and the top 10. At number 10, Frank Tanana. Number 9 is Jared Weaver. 8 is Mike Witt. Tim Salmon at number 7. Bobby Grich at number 6. Brian Downing at number 5, Jim Fregosi at number 4, Nolan Ryan at number 3, Chuck Finley at number 2, and Mike Trout at number 1. So again, this was looking at the top 50 Angels in franchise history based on their wins above replacement according to Fangraphs. And yeah, once again, I just really enjoyed doing this list. It was a lot of fun, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. So that's going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Angels. Big thank you to Major League Baseball for providing the highlight audio for this entire series, and to Fangraphs, Baseball Reference, and various other sources for all of the statistical information and backstories and all that kind of stuff. So this was a lot of fun. Obviously, this concludes the entire series, which means we are going to pivot in a different direction. My hope was that we would have more moves happening, not just in baseball, but specifically for the Angels. That did not really happen. There have not been very many moves. But with that being said, we are in the middle of January. We've got spring training right around the corner. So that means we are going to have some real, legitimate baseball conversations coming up here in the next 4 to 6 weeks. And that is exciting. But there still is a little bit of time to fill the gap between then. Obviously, we're going to have a few transactions for the Angels, or at least hopefully, but there is a need for other conversations to be had. So I am in the process of kind of going through that right now and figuring out what is next, but you can expect some quality coverage on Locked On Angels coming next week. In regards to next week's schedule, I am not doing Monday's episode, so I will do the same that I did for this week. So we'll do Tuesday and most likely Wednesday and Friday to spread it out a little bit. But with that being said, that is going to do it for today. As always, thank you for joining. Stay safe. Have a great weekend. We will talk some Angels baseball next Tuesday.